So we'll open our workshop today with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. We're now going to put up the preamble to the workshop, and thank you, Loann, for putting that up there, and Kay is going to read that for us today. Thank you, Kay.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking. The Al-Anon family groups are a fellowship of relatives and friends of alcoholics who share their experience, strength, and hope in order to solve their common problems. We believe alcoholism is a family illness and that changed attitudes can aid recovery. Al-Anon is not allied with any sect, denomination, political entity, organization, or institution. It does not engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any cause. There are no dues for membership. Al-Anon is self-supporting through its own voluntary contributions. Al-Anon has but one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps, by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics, and by giving understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic.
Thank you, Kay. Next, Floanne is going to put up our workshop opening, and Darlene is going to read that for us. Thank you, Darlene.
Good morning. Our first Al-Anon meeting gave many of us a feeling of hope and the realization we were not alone. Hearing such slogans as easy does it and one day at a time helped us to see there have been others before us who understood what we had lived through. It was a struggle in the beginning to focus on anything except the alcohol, but gradually, as we attended more meetings and began to listen, we found it easier to break through our barrier of denial to concentrate on what other members were saying. As more time passed, we were able to widen our focus and look at our group. We wanted to ensure that our group continued to flourish in a healthy manner. When we heard about the 12 traditions and what they meant to group unity, we came to realize that most of the time our group was practicing the traditions. Like the 12 steps, the traditions began to seem familiar. Their wisdom was applicable to our group and to our own personal lives. Some of us were in Al-Anon or Alateen for years before we ever heard about the 12 concepts of service. At this point in our recovery, many of us could think clearly most of the time, keep an open mind some of the time, and allow others to give their opinions occasionally. After considering these ideas, it is but a small step further for us to wonder if the concepts play a useful part in our group's lives. The answer is yes. Whether a group is flourishing well or beset by problems, the concepts provide a vital link to the service experiences of others. Once again, we realize that we are not alone. Others have experienced similar problems and met them with understanding and compassion.
Thank you, Darlene. And that is an excerpt from The Concepts, Al-Anon's Best Kept Secret, copyright Al-Anon Family Groups Headquarters, Inc., 1986 and 2000. Floanne is now going to put up our June reading from When I Got Busy, I Got Better, which is Tradition 5. And John, thank you.
Each Al-Anon family group has but one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps of AA ourselves, by encouraging and understanding our alcoholic relatives, and by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics. I know an Al-Anon member who says firmly from time to time that Al-Anon is not a social club. Tradition 5 reminds me that, unlike any sort of social club, my Al-Anon group's one purpose is to help families of alcoholics. This single clear group purpose frames all my efforts to reach out to others. In fact, it even extends the reach of my own efforts in recovery. I practice the 12 steps not only to help myself, but also to contribute to the group purpose. In seeking recovery for myself, I also make it available to the group. Even in service, perhaps especially in service, I continue to keep my attention on weaving the 12 steps into the fabric of my life. Confusion, fear, faint-heartedness, procrastination, self-will, and dominance all yield to the gentle influence of the 12 steps in service, as in the rest of my life. I can contribute to the group purpose unless I continue to practice the steps with humility and faith. This practice, I believe, is the basis for a trusted servant. To the best of my ability, I take the tools of the 12 steps with me when carrying the Al-Anon message. If I don't take care to bring my recovery with me, I cannot share it with others. When reaching out to others, I sometimes have an occasion to provide encouragement and understanding to alcoholics who are not my relatives. Sometimes the understanding I need to practice is that not all members of AA realize that recovery in Al-Anon is distinct from recovery in AA. And the encouragement I need to provide is the best example of practicing in program that I can embody. Participation in Al-Anon 12-step work has provided me with many opportunities to welcome and comfort newcomers. What makes this activity easier for me is the knowledge that I have a common experience with each of these people, regardless of the external differences. While shyness may hold me back on the street, our group purpose gives me the encouragement to extend my sense of recovery to the newcomers. The lessons of applying the Tradition 5 to service have extended dramatically into other areas of my life. Just as I've learned to take care to apply the 12 steps to my group experience, I've also learned to focus on using the steps in other areas that I might have thought were beyond their reach. Business comes to mind as an example. This tradition has also helped me focus on a common purpose with others. I've learned to work more effectively on projects with others with whom I've had differences by looking for common interest and working to achieve common goals. Contributing to a group whose purpose is simple, clear, and positive has also helped me make progress in keeping other areas of my life simple, clear, and positive. Practicing these principles in Al-Anon encourages me to practice them in the rest of my life. This is a quote from When I Got Busy, I Got Better, page 43 to 45.
Thank you, John. And that's copyrighted by the Al-Anon Family Group's headquarters from 1994. Thank you, Kay, Darlene, and John for reading those for us. So each of our three panelists speakers today will be speaking for about 15 minutes. The rest of the time we can use for your questions that you might have for the speakers. Remember, any sharings are solely the opinion of the member and not that of the Arizona area or Al-Anon as a whole. Okay, let's go ahead and get started with our first speaker today. I'd like to introduce you to Tim S. I've known Tim since he moved here to Arizona. He is a member of the Al-Anon home group that I'm in. And we have several shared experiences that we've had together, and I am really looking forward to hearing what Tim has to say today. Thank you, Tim.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Tim, very grateful member of Al-Anon, and thank you, Mike, for asking me to speak at this workshop. It's about service, and I remember my very first few meetings. And I don't know what it was, but I knew right away that service was going to be an important part of my program. And basically, it was going to help me to continue to attend Al-Anon on a regular basis. One of the readings mentioned the word procrastination. I am still deal with that today. And I knew that getting involved and being of service was going to get me to a meeting consistently. And so, I started out slow. I just decided to chair a meeting, and I remember my first meeting that I was the leader of, and I was just feeling kind of devastated. I think it was about 6 months in, and I just felt like I was not getting the program. And then one of the other members after the meeting, you know, came up to me and shared with me, no, you know, you've been in 6 months and you're leading the meeting. You know, a lot of people don't even talk for the first year. So getting that feedback of that I was, you know, I wasn't doing it wrong, that I was just, I was participating was very helpful. So as I continued in the program, I just kind of just did, like I said, slowly, just setting up chairs, making coffee, bringing the cookies, handing the literature. It just, you know, being a part of that meeting, you know, it got me there. It got me to, literature was one of the best ones I ever did, was because people would come up to me before and after the meeting and ask me about the literature. And I got to talk about the literature and got to get over my shyness and actually get to meet people and talk to people. As the years went by, I decided that I wanted to learn a lot more about the Al-Anon program. So I took on the position of group representative. And that was a whole nother learning experience, learning really, truly delving into the traditions and the concepts and getting to meet people from outside my area, outside my normal meetings, and just expand my horizons and keep myself, you know, keep an open mind. And for me, keeping an open mind and learning and listening for me is a way that I get that connection to my higher power. I do hear my higher power when other people share, when other people, when I'm working in groups and for a common cause. So I also got involved in a group of men that put on workshops 4 times a year, working, you know, focusing on the steps. This was all back in California when I lived in California. So I even got to even learn a lot more about the work, about the steps and traditions by actually putting together materials and, you know, helping, you know, present these in a workshop format. And that was really a good experience for me. Also, I can put together and, bring other talents that I had, to be able to share. Then about 4 years ago, I was in a place in my life where my higher power brought about some circumstances that required some changes in my life. I was in my early 50s. I was unemployed. I just sold my house and I was living with my parents. And really not sure what I was going to do going forward. But I knew I had this program, and I knew that I had a higher power that was going to guide me. And my higher power guided me to Tucson. And I found a job out here. And fortunately, I did have some family out here. But I think one of the most important things that I did when I moved out here was to find a meeting. And as was shared, you know, I found this home group of this men's meeting. Right away, that was top of my list. I even before I got an apartment, you know, I need to go find a meeting and get connection with Al-Anon. And I found a great group of guys. And this particular group, service was just foremost in what they shared and talked about and did. And they were quick to say, you know, here's some service opportunities. I came in November, and there were elections for AIS in February, and I was elected as the archives person at AIS, 3 months in to my stay here and to my living in Tucson. And there was another opportunity to learn about Al-Anon in Tucson and to be able to provide, you know, some service and some something back to the community. And I did that for 3 years, and it was a fabulous, service position that I was able to do. I also got involved in taking the Al-Anon meetings to the prisons, thanks to other members that were doing that as well. And I was able to take my experience with workshops and take a little piece of that to the prisons as well. So I got to share my experience there. So I'm very grateful for that. I was in a meeting just before this, and to talk about service in another way outside of the meetings, you know, in my personal life, a topic came up in the meeting I was in this morning that talked about for fun and for free. And before Al-Anon, I was a perpetual scorekeeper. I had a vision of a chalkboard in my mind that every time I did something for you or someone else, you know, a little mark went up on the chalkboard, and then when you did something for me, it went up on the other ledger. And when my side you know, filled up before your side did, which was often because that was me. I was the martyr and the scorekeeper. That's when I would get resentful and angry. But of course, I never said anything to anybody because I, you know, didn't know how to communicate. But the thing that really stood out for me with hearing that today was that I don't do that anymore. And that's because of this program. When I am actually being of service or I'm helping others, you know, my family, my friends, my coworkers, I keep that in mind as this is for fun and for free. I'm doing this because I want to be of service and I'm not looking for anything in return. And it's a great feeling that this program has given me that over the years, it's taken away that, you know, that need to be a scorekeeper and the need to make sure it's even. And, you know, it touches me about communication. And that when I'm feeling like I'm giving a little too much, you know, I can share it in a nice way. I can share it without being, you know, resentful or, you know, demanding. I can just say, this is the way I'm feeling and, you know, be grateful that I have those tools for communication. So I think I know I'm running short, like I thought I would be, but that's what I've got. And I really appreciate the opportunity to speak. So thank you very much.
Hey, Tim, thank you very much. That was a great start off to today's speakers. And let's give Tim a nice jazz hands round of applause today. Thank you again. Our next speaker is Kimberly B. And Kimberly, I know through another meeting that I attend, and I always enjoy and get something out of what she has to say. And I'm looking forward to her talk today as well. So Kimberly, if you'll unmute, it's all yours.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for this opportunity to be of service. Thank you. And also to be inside on a hot morning. It's already exceeded 100 degrees. So thank you. And thank you for the questions that you sent along to give me some structure and some idea of how to present my experience in service. The first question you was asked was, how has having a common purpose made me more effective when involved in service projects? Although I haven't been in service projects such as the task force, I've only been a GR, it has been amazing for me to watch how people on a task force work together for that common purpose. And one of them was watching as they struggled and worked together to find a new meeting space for us. The ability to communicate respectfully and and they did it with such clarity and laughter was so new to me. That is just not what happened growing up in an alcoholic home and also living with people with addiction issues. That common purpose was common purpose to me in action. As a GR, to me, the common purpose is helping people who have been affected by alcoholism. And this means that I am not alone in doing the heavy lifting. And I'm not, as a GR, I have our area, Arizona, provides us with tutorials and classes on being a GR. We also have service representatives, service sponsors that help us in being a GR. So we have a lot of, and then I have all of your support and that to help me fulfill that common purpose of helping people affected with alcoholism. The knowledge that I'm not alone and I'm not out here taking on service responsibilities gives me the courage to do more service pre-Al-Anon, so often, whether it was at home or at work, I found myself I was doing the lifting all by myself. It was like trying to move a sleeper sofa all by myself on a super hot day up 100 flights of stairs. That's what it felt like. And as you can imagine, it didn't work out very well. And upon reflection of those moments, which were often, I realized that although I thought there was a common purpose and we were all on the same page, that wasn't what happened. And everything fell apart. Others had a different take on what that common purpose was. An example that, a general example of that was raising a child, trying to raise a child with someone who was suffering from addiction and mental health issues. Things that I thought we had in common, that we had this common goal for raising a child, really fell apart and most regularly. And it left me confused and not trusting, not understanding, not trusting myself. That's where to, when I came into Al-Anon, I came to understand that the common purpose in my, those previous, the way I previously operated was not so simple, clear, or positive to all those that were involved. The simple, clear, positive purpose, as stated in Tradition 5, it keeps me from guessing as to what I am to share at meetings, to share with newcomers, and to share through service. I don't have to guess. It's simply clearly stated. It's to help others that are affected by alcoholism. And this statement to me as GR gives me the freedom to stick to my responsibilities as a GR and not to go wandering into those of the task force or to the responsibilities of the treasurer. It keeps me where I need to be. And for someone who is a fixer, that's really important. And I found that very, very important. This is a great practice for me, and it has translated well into a multitude of benefits in relationships within and without and outside of Al-Anon. This having a clearly stated common purpose and keeping it simple. How has the spiritual aspect of Al-Anon featured into my recovery and my participation? For me, service work has been essential to healing my broken spirit. I was broken when I walked into Al-Anon. And this in service work has been an essential path to recovering my trust in myself. That was the biggest part of my spirit that was broken. I had no trust in myself, no trust in others, and certainly no trust in a higher power. But you trusted me. Oh, sorry, I'm going to get emotional. You trusted me to set up chairs. You trusted me to put away the literature. You trusted me with the key to the building. You trusted me to share. You trusted me to be an alternate GR, and you trusted me to be a GR. For someone who had no trust in their self, no ability to make healthy choices or to take right action, your trust was invaluable. I can't say enough about how service work has helped me heal. And I'm still healing. It continues. And your trust and through service work, I continue to heal. And my ability to trust helps expands both in my trust in myself, my higher power, and in the group. There are situations in my life where the tools of the recovery and that trust will go right out the window. And that's the last last situation I want to talk about. Situations where I'm still working and where the service work, I still continue to learn. One of the areas I was just speaking with my sponsor on this very topic about where my recovery goes out the window. And very quickly, and my serenity just follows right behind. And then my trust in my higher powers right behind that. I mean, it just all goes. And that is, that happens when I am in situations where I am confronted with aggression. At a cellular level, my automatic response is to turn aggression with aggression. It's just that it's cellular. But in Al-Anon, I have learned that I can make different choices. With awareness, often that awareness eludes me. When I'm faced with aggression, I can choose how to, and if at all, respond. At meetings, I have infrequently encountered aggressive behavior. But when I do, I make an exit. That tends to be how I handle it. I don't reach out to aggressive newcomers. I don't reach out to aggressive members. And I try to also position myself in the room for a quick exit and away from the aggressive person or the person I perceive as aggressive. And that's just one situation where I'm working, and I'm working to do, I'm aware of that situation happening, and I'm aware of how it prevents me from going wholeheartedly in on service. But I'm also grateful that I'm aware, I have that awareness, because I didn't even have that awareness before I came into Al-Anon. It was just boom, respond with aggression. So I'm grateful for that. And I'm also grateful that I can be kind to myself and give myself a break and say, you know, it's okay. That's where I'm at. But look how far I've come. It's progress, not perfection. Just like being of service and being of service in Al-Anon, it's progress. And my growth continues through coming to these meetings and through doing service. And I'm grateful for the service. Thank you.
Thank you, Kimberly. That was excellent. And I must say, Kimberly has been the epitome of service today, because our person who was supposed to speak today had a medical emergency, and I called Kimberly on Thursday, and she graciously said yes to speaking today. So you need another round of applause there, Kimberly. Thank you so, so much. You certainly saved me, and I appreciate it deeply. Our final speaker today is Michael T. Wow. You know, when Michael T is going to share in a meeting, I sit up and listen. I just am always getting something out of what he has to say. And I'm also looking forward to what he has to share with us today. So Michael, if you'll unmute.
Hi, everyone. My name is Michael, and it's so very, very nice to be here with you all. And thanks, Mike, for the nice introduction. I've been in Al-Anon the last 3.5 years. Mike asked me to do this about 9 months ago, which, if you ever have to recruit for speakers, I think that's an excellent strategy, because it felt much less daunting to say yes 9 months ago. And I figured, oh, I'll have 9 more months of service by the time I've got to do this talk, and I'll have something actually to say. And I want to talk about that first, about this opportunity for service today that I'm so grateful that I said yes to, because this has been such a wonderful experience just preparing for this. You know, a week ago, I still didn't really have any great ideas about what I wanted to talk about. I wasn't even like really sure how, you know, service has impacted my recovery. I had a great conversation with my sponsor earlier this week, and we worked through it and some of the questions and prompts that were given. And it was such a great opportunity to reflect on my journey so far. I mean, I don't feel like I have a huge service portfolio. You know, I do have service experience, but you know, I know there's people in this room who have much more than me. No, but the opportunity to just stop and reflect and think about how service has impacted my recovery, you know, was really eye-opening for me, because I don't think I stop sometimes to acknowledge my progress. And my sponsor is really good at pointing out my progress. I'm always so grateful, because it's like, I don't see it a lot of times. So it's just been a wonderful experience. And I'm very grateful for this opportunity and the great work that this forum does for all of us in carrying the message. So one of the great things that I got out of my childhood was a mother who modeled service. And so service is something that's been part of my life for most of my life. So coming into Al-Anon and volunteering for things just felt like a no-brainer. You know, it's like, oh, I know how to do this. You know, I can do service. It just felt very natural. So it didn't feel, at least the things that I volunteered for, haven't felt, you know, too scary to jump in and do. I have this assumption that follows me every time, though, that I volunteer for service. I think this has happened 3 or 4 times. I volunteer to do something in service, and I go, oh, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be a great opportunity for me to witness healthy, fully recovered people practicing the principles of Al-Anon. And I always get godsmacked by that. Because while that's true, to an extent, it's more true to say that it's an opportunity for me to witness fairly healthy people recovering from the effects of alcoholism and trying to figure out how to practice the principles of Al-Anon. And that is so much a better experience, you know, because in that first scenario, I think I'm going to go in as a spectator. I'm going to go in, I'm going to watch other people who have got it all down, they've got it figured out, and it's going to be this beautiful kumbaya experience. And I think there is some, I don't want to say that's not wholly true, but it's so much more beautiful to participate with other people who are actively working, who don't have all the answers, who make mistakes, and it's much more inviting for someone who is, you know, still very much trying to figure out this program and how to incorporate the principles of Al-Anon in my life. So I get to be more of a participant because I'm an imperfect person working with other imperfect people. And that's just a beautiful experience because it helps me to accept myself more as an imperfect human being. And that's hard as a perfectionist who a former perfectionist who wants to do everything perfectly and be a pleaser. I worked steps 1, 2, and 3 4 times before I was able to successfully navigate step 4. And the 3 times I got sent back to redo them, none of those reasons were because I didn't think I was ready for step 4. They were because I changed sponsors or this happened or that happened. But when I look back at that now, I can see the care of my higher power in that. My higher power sent me back to do steps 1, 2, and 3 4 times to make sure I got it right. But what was happening in that process was I was repairing, my higher power was repairing in me with my participation. And Al-Anon, the Al-Anon program was, and the steps were healing in me, my relationship with myself, and my relationship with my higher power. When I was very busy, so I grew up in a home that was impacted by alcoholism. I have a life of time worth of inviting alcoholics and addicts into my life. And when I was actively trying to manage the addiction issues of close family members, one of the things that suffered the most was my relationship with my higher power, because he just wouldn't do what I told him to do. You know, it's like I have a lifetime relationship with my higher power. You know, I don't think I would have gotten through my childhood as well as I did without my higher power's presence and love and care, but it got damaged in my adulthood. And a lot of that had to do with my anxiety, my own wanting to fix it, my own Al-Anonisms, my controlling, my directing, my manipulation. And in the list of people who I did that to, my higher power was one of those. So I needed to heal that relationship, as well as the relationship with myself, to get into step four and do the hard work of step four. Well, what does that have to do with service? I mean, that for me, my relationship with my higher power is really fundamental to stepping into service. And that's something that's become much more clear to me per this week and preparing for this. But, you know, when I am going to practice new behaviors or try to do things differently or try to turn things over to my higher power and walk into a situation that is not familiar, that becomes really essential, that I have a higher power that I can trust to do that. And so the more I've done that through service, because service to me feels like a pretty safe place, you know, whether it's, you know, helping to plan the 2020 convention, or as being an ISR or the secretary for my group, it overall feels like a pretty safe place to go and practice the principles of Al-Anon for me. But I need my higher power there with me to be able to take the chance, you know, to risk not being perfect, to risk screwing up, to risk doing just something different and uncomfortable. And through that, my relationship with my higher power continues to heal and strengthen. So service has been like instrumental in that healing of my relationship with my higher power. So I volunteered to help with the 2020 convention, and I co-chaired a committee for the 2020 convention, which didn't happen because of our pandemic. And I went in like, I got this, you know, in work, my work environment, I'm on all kinds of committees. You know, event planning is something that I do with committees. You know, it's something that, you know, is on my resume as something that I'm good at. So I'm going to be great at this. This is going to be like this. Yeah. So you can, but there's a difference. There's a difference between the work world and the Al-Anon world and bringing those principles in. You know, I came in like, okay, this is what we need to do. This is how we need to structure it. This is kind of the timeline, you know, control freak out there. And, a little annoyed with my chair, who wasn't chomping it, you know, getting in line. She became such an incredible teacher to me through that experience, because she modeled the principles of Al-Anon. She was like, you do you, I'm gonna do me. And she was patient and compassionate with me, and patient with me, and just walked with me, and she let me do me. And she was like, this is how I'm going to do this. And she did it with such love and compassion. That experience triggered a lot of my other character defaults from, besides my controlling kind of, also my people pleasing and my perfectionism came out, because there was a decision that needed to be made. And there was a committee that I was a part of, and then there was the subcommittee that I was helping to lead. And the subcommittee wanted to do one thing, and the committee head, and I got to say, I don't know how much this is my mind and how much this is reality, but I felt like there were very different expectations that were coming from the committee. And so my people pleasing, my wanting to please authority, to do things right, that created a big kind of conflict for me. And I had to work that out in way too many words with both the committee and the subcommittee. And again, my chair, the chair of that committee, she just walked with me in it. And she just modeled such compassion. She modeled good boundaries. She modeled delegated authority. And I just learned so much from her. I actually cried when I was writing about this, you know, getting ready for this. It was just like, oh my God, you know, I don't know if I've ever told her how much I really got from that experience. So these kind of lessons that I've learned in service, I've been able to take to my work environment. So it's gone the other direction. I thought all this work experience was going to like help me with the service, and it's gone the other direction. That experience, along with my experiences in just other service where I need to speak up and give my opinion, and whether it's a business meeting or whatever, you know, where I've learned through the example of you all to say it once and then let it go, to communicate honestly, to say the things that sometimes feel uncomfortable, that might feel like they don't match with what the majority is saying. Having that experience in committee work or business meetings or in sharing in groups, in just the regular group meetings, having that experience there, coupled with how I had to grapple with that committee work on the convention committee, I was able to bring those tools and those experiences to a very rough relationship in my work environment, which was with my boss. I carried resentment for many years. You know, worked for her, under her supervision for 7 years now. And I had expectations for her and how she should be as a boss. I have a particular value system, a particular vision of how things should be done in our office, and she doesn't, her value system and her vision is different. You know, because I've got this I've got this perfectionism, but in this pleasing kind of default, that becomes like a really difficult relationship. And it has been disrespectful at times in both directions. But I was able to take the tools that I learned here and have a very uncomfortable conversation with her. It lasted 45 very long minutes. It was a hard conversation, but I learned to be, you know, as dispassionate as I could and just speak from my heart and tell my truth and listen to what she had to say in return and hear her. And it was a major turning point in our relationship. It's not perfect. She's still not invited to my birthday party, but I really have some compassion and some understanding and some insight into who she is as a person now that I didn't have previously. And much to her credit, she hung in there for that 45 minutes and she returned the honesty and the sincerity. It was a really great conversation. It was so hard and I never want to repeat it again. But it was such a turning point for me in what has been a really difficult situation. It has really improved my satisfaction of my work environment. So much to my surprise, you know, this all this work experience that I thought was going to inform my service experience has gone the other direction. And I got the best compliment the other day from one of my coworkers. There's about four of us that do very similar jobs, and you know, we've been doing it remotely for 15 months now. So we've made a point of getting together once a week for an hour and just talking about whatever, whether it's work or it's just catching up with each other. And so we talk about these kind of things. And I don't purposely like promote Al-Anon with them. I think I've probably mentioned to, I don't know if I'm not even sure if I've mentioned to them that I'm in Al-Anon. But one of them said it was dealing with a difficult situation, a difficult communication. Communication is not has not been my strong point. But she was talking about the situation where, you know, she was having some difficulties communicating. And she said, I just went and I channeled my inner Michael. And I was like, oh my God. You know, to like have influenced somebody to have carried the message by just practicing the principles. You know, I was like, that was like the best compliment I could have gotten. I was completely unaware that I had had that impact or that that was acknowledged by her. So I just carry that in my heart. And it's been such an encouragement for me in my recovery. So that's what I have to share. So thank you all for listening.
Michael, thank you so much for that share. That was really great. And remember, if you have any questions, either for Michael or for Tim or for Kimberly individually, or if you have it for all three, please chat with Michelle and send her those questions. Let's give another nice round of applause to all three, Tim, Kimberly, and Michael, for taking the time to share their experience, strength, and hope in service with us today. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to Michelle, our moderator, and I think she's gotten some questions for our speakers today. Michelle?
Wow, those were really great shares. Thank you all so much for saying yes when you were asked to speak on this topic, whether you had 9 months heads up or 2 days heads up. I've got a few questions from our members. I'll let you know who the question is for or if it's open to all of you. Please keep your answers to like 2 minutes or less so we can answer as many questions as possible. We also have a couple of people who are going to speak for 2 minutes on the topic as well to share. If you're on the phone and have a question, you can use *9 to raise your hand to let me know. And when I call your name, you can unmute. So let's start with a question for all three of you. How has your higher power helped you know when to be involved in service and focus on the common purpose?
Okay, I guess I'll start. Hi, I'm Tim. Well, I can remember one experience where I was sitting in a meeting and they were doing elections for service positions. And I don't know who raised my hand, but my hand went up. And that is a definite, you know, God shot for me is when my higher power does for me what I just, you know, can't do for myself. And also being that, having that open mind, as I talked about, just having an open mind to what is available and trusting in a feeling that I get that it's the right thing to do. So.
Hi, this is Kim. I would echo what Tim said. I can remember when the group needed a GR and I had just moved here and I kept hearing at every meeting, a GR, they're looking for a new GR. And I just kept growing each meeting more and more uncomfortable. Like, who me? No, not me. You know, I would say back to my higher power and the universe. I'm like, no. And every meeting, it just got more and more uncomfortable not to volunteer. And so I did. So that's what sort of happens with me. I just get growing uncomfortable. You're sitting on your hands and raise that hand. Like Tim, it just happened. Thank you.
So I don't know if I have a great answer for this, but I just like trying out different things. And I kind of feel like, you know, if something doesn't work for me, there's no like penalty. Like I can like decide I'm not going to do it anymore. You know, if I make a commitment for like with the convention, I mean, that was this real commitment, but like for other things, I'm like, sometimes I just want to try it. You know, I'm the ISR for my home group right now. And, you know, I don't know if I had any particular inspiration, that, like this was the right thing. I know I want to incorporate service into my recovery. So it was just like, I'm just going to explore this. And because I think my higher power works with me. It's not always like there's one route that my higher power wants me to take. It's we're kind of a team, and my higher power is going to get my back, you know, whichever way I go. I will say that when I was asked to be a sponsor from three different people, and the first two times, it just didn't feel right. And then there was something really right when the third person asked me, and it was just like, I just had a great sense of calm. Like, oh, you know, this is the right time. And this is the right situation. But I don't get that all the time. That's.
Thank you. Okay, so the next question is for Tim and Michael, in that order. So Kim talked a little bit about how service had helped heal her trust. And I'm wondering if the two of you can talk about how trust played a part in your service and recovery. So Tim, you're first.
Okay. When I did my first four step, one key thing that came out of it was the feeling that I am not good enough. And that was a kind of a perpetual thing in my life, that I could just never be good enough for anyone. That was never good enough for my marriage, my job, my family. And then being of, you know, doing service work and making mistakes and not getting, you know, put down for it or not being yelled at, which to me, my perception was that happened all the time. It gave me that trust that I could do something, that I am worthwhile. I do have something to give. And Al-Anon really gives that to me, that I have something to share, and then people have something to share back. So it just, as was shared before with other people, it's a safe place to come out of that shell and come out that I can do, I can be of service, that I'm not worthless. And that's it. Thank you.
So I think I like kind of two different answers to that. I think when it comes to trusting my higher power and trusting myself, then, you know, it's an ongoing kind of experiment of let's try this and see how it goes. And I'm learning. And both of those relationships, the trust is building. I trust my higher power more. I trust myself to have the tools to be able to navigate any situation that my higher power allows me to have better. So for me, it's about stepping out and doing something that's a little bit uncomfortable and then standing back to watch the outcome. When it comes to trusting other human beings, like especially to do their part, that's an ongoing lesson for me right now. You know, I still have, there's still that kind of control freak in me who is overly concerned that other people might not be doing things on the timeline that is comfortable for me. So I have to actively talk to my higher power, or talk to my sponsor about that. And that's something that is still, that's still being healed.
Thank you. All right, this is for everyone. And we'll start with Kim this time. How has what you've learned about Tradition 5 in Al-Anon service helped you outside the rooms?
Great question. It has translated in relationships. I've been able to reflect upon past relationships where the wheels fell off the bus. where there wasn't unity, where my character defects, control, and things like that really cut into unity, undermined unity. Today, in my relationships, I struggle that trust, the common purpose, I can let go and not undermine your part in the common purpose. And that has gone a long way to trust, to my trust and to the other person trusting me that they're not going to be undermined by my tendency to control. And this, in the relationships, there's just this space, spaciousness in the relationships. And sometimes it doesn't work out. You know, I kick myself like, oh, you should have jumped in. But then I go like, whoa, no. That's okay. It didn't work out. It didn't work out the way I wanted to, but at the same time, it wasn't mine to make it work out. So again, it continues to be a learning process, but definitely I have learned through the tradition 5 where I stop and where you begin. Thank you.
Tim, do you have anything on this question?
Yeah, I just reread, you know, tradition 5, and part of it says by encouraging the understanding our alcoholic relatives. And I just last week was with my family, and there are family members that drink, and as I, you know, I with the last question talking about the, you know, not feeling safe. There was a lot of times in my family where I didn't feel safe expressing my opinions as in regards to, you know, what I do in Al-Anon, how I live my life, you know, with this spiritual program. And I kind of kept that real close to me and not really shared it with the other family because I just didn't feel comfortable. But this last trip, I felt a difference that I am much more comfortable with who I am and how I live my life in this spiritual program, that I was able to share it with them. Or actually, the best way I can describe it, I was able to be, you know, be myself. And, you know, I have my readers, I got my journal, this is what I do, and felt comfortable, you know, expressing it in that way. And not sure if this really answers the question, but I just, you know, you know, encouraging and understanding. I don't know if that really understands, but it just being more comfortable in for myself in sharing what I, you know, and expressing how I live my life. So,
Michelle, would you mind repeating the question?
I will, as soon as I relocate it. One moment. How has what you have learned about Tradition 5 in Al-Anon service, in Al-Anon service helped you outside the rooms?
You know, I think, I mean, it's hard to separate like 12-step work from like the service work. So, but I think those two things combined have really kind of have transformed all my relationships with my family. And this is something that my sponsor and I talk about too. It's about, you know, they're thinking about each relationship as its own thing. And there's a singleness of purpose that I have with each individual person. And there's outside issues that we don't bring into that relationship. And that's different in every relationship with my family members. You know, my family as alcohol and addiction disease progresses has become more and more disunified. And that's hard to watch. Yeah, I have relationships of different qualities, but I have intact relationships with everybody. They don't always have relationships between them, but I have relationships of different qualities with each of them, which is one of the miracles of this program, because I would not have seen that when I first walked into my first Al-Anon room. But by maintaining a singleness of purpose with each of them, recognizing that each of them have been impacted by this disease, I can then have an individual relationship with them, keep the outside stuff outside of it, And I can then bring comfort and understanding to my family of origin and to other folks who are a close part of my life.
Thank you all. Now we're going to let our speakers take a little break from questioning. And and we're going to hear from Carrie O for about 2 minutes on this topic. Take it away, Carrie.
Hey, y'all, I'm Carrie. Hey, everybody. When I look at this tradition, what it says to me, it talks about focused love and compassion. And it talks to me about, each group has but one purpose. And each relationship has but one purpose. So what is my primary purpose in each of my relationships? As a sponsor, my understanding is that my purpose in that relationship is to lead a sponsee back to their higher power. In a meeting, it may be as simple as getting coffee and supporting the meeting that way. But what I've learned is, when I learned to work it in rooms first, and then I took it outside. And for me, my sponsor tells me if I'm not working it outside the rooms, I'm not working it. And so I had to learn what my primary purpose was in each of those relationships outside. For instance, my role as an employee, my primary purpose is to get paid. That's not where I go for my self-esteem, my value, my purpose, any of that. My purpose there is to get paid. And, it teaches me not to try and be everything to everyone, which is what I expected of other people. It teaches me to keep my expectations in check of other people as well, because their primary purpose, they have but one purpose also. And so for me, it's been about taking care of myself first. At first, it says by practicing the steps ourselves. First things first. If I'm not doing it, I have nothing to give. Then my family, and then others. So working my way out. And I learned to do that by starting with the group, then the district, then the area, as I work my way out and through my program. So it's been incredibly educational for me to learn how to do this in the rooms and then take it outside. So thank you.
Thank you for sharing, Carrie, which is a great segue into the next question, which is, again, for all three of our speakers, and we'll start with Tim this time. Do you think that you have a primary spiritual purpose that stays constant, or does your primary spiritual purpose change daily or hourly, or how do you experience, how do you understand your primary spiritual purpose?
That's a really good question. And if I take it down to the basic level for me, is I do a little bit of writing every morning. And in that writing, I make sure that I write, pen on paper. I turn my will and my life over to the care of my higher power today. And for me, if I keep that particular spiritual purpose, the focus of my day, just turning my will and my life over on a constant basis, I don't think that ever changes for me. How I perceive the guidance, the choices I make during the day can change. But the primary spiritual aim for me is to have that contact with my higher power and to trust that his will for me is what I need to do today. How I interpret it and how I practice it, it can change. But yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Tim. Michael.
Yeah, thanks, Tim, for that. I related to that a lot because I start my day as well with my higher power, start and end it. And one of the things I do in the morning is I go, okay, God, this is what I have planned today. I've got to, you know, I'm going to have breakfast. I'm going to be a speaker at Turbocharge. I'm going to have lunch with this, you know, this is what I've got planned for today, you know, and, but not my plan, your plan for the day, you know, not my will, but your will for the day. So whatever you've got planned for me, you know, that's great. And I'm trying to detach then from my own agenda. And then I see my job as to navigate my day as a, as loving of a person and in as healthy as a manner as I can. And to me, that's my, that's the core of my primary purpose. And I have a great day when I'm able to do that. And that's the intention I start off with, you know, and then how it actually goes is probably something different, but that's what I have to share.
Thank you. Thank you. Kim.
Wow, these questions are, phew. the basis of my spiritual practice would be kindness, you know, is to walk with honesty and kindness. In order for me to do that, it requires walking with my higher power. And I too have to remind myself that it's my higher power's will and not mine, and that I ask that my will align with the will of my higher power for today. My day definitely goes better when I do that, and then I get to chuckle every time I say it too, because it's a struggle for me to give up my will and not have things go my way. But it's fluid, you know, it's fluid, because if I make things concrete, boy, I suffer and I bring suffering into the world, into my world. I just do. And so having that fluidity and being able to be like water and just flow with what comes my way, and know that with the help of my higher power, I can have the space I need to approach things, the opportunities, learning opportunities, with kindness, and sometimes that kindness might be saying no. That might be the kindness thing. And that's not just kindness to others, but it's kindness to myself. And that's real important for me to make that first, and then the kindness follows to others. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. All right, here's a question for Tim. It says, I tend to let others' needs come before my spiritual growth. What did you do in order to learn how to put your spiritual growth first? I hope I said that right. What did you do in order to learn how to put your spiritual growth first?
I'll say it took a long time in Al-Anon to really do that well. That was one, very hard. I am a people pleaser and I like to make sure people are happy. But seeing how much, well, I'll give an example of my daughters. My daughters are in their 30s, and I did a lot of caretaking with them when they were younger. In the last several years, seeing the growth in them when I've backed off and put my spiritual growth ahead of what I feel they, you know, what I feel I should be doing as a father, has proven to me that this program works when I take care of myself and my spiritual, that's when I put that first. I see growth exponentially in them when I'm doing that. So for me, it's the proof is in the action. Thanks.
Thank you, Tim. So I'm going to direct this one at all three of you, and we'll just see where it goes. Because it's kind of a two-part question. Have you ever taken a service position that you weren't sure you were right for? And what did you learn? And what tools of the program have you used to move from uncomfortable to comfortable in a service position? So who am I going to pick on first? Michael?
The answer is yes. I definitely have taken on service positions that I wasn't sure if I was right for and that have felt uncomfortable. But again, it's you know, having healed to an extent, having had my relationship with my higher power healed by my higher power, has helped me to do things that are less comfortable than in the past. So I definitely have done that sort of thing. I became an ISR for my group, I don't know, a few months ago. I'm still kind of getting comfortable in that environment. I'm kind to myself. You know, I don't speak up a lot yet. I have opinions, but I'm a little scared to say them. I'm not quite sure how to say them. I'm not sure, you know, if I'm like breaking Al-Anon policy or Al-Anon principles by like saying something. So I'm still a little, you know, skittish about like getting really involved or like really using my voice yet. I'm getting more comfortable, but that's where I just need to be kind to myself in that and just be like, it's okay to take some time to get acclimated, to kind of get my feet underneath myself. And, you know, Al-Anon certainly taught me to be like kind and gentle with myself in these things. And no one's called me to tell me I've done a bad job yet. So it's working out.
Thank you. Kim?
Oh, I just have to laugh. So I've recently taken a very uncomfortable position for me. I'm going to be a co-host for Zoom meetings for the convention, a Zoom meeting. And anyone who is aware of my lack of technical skills in the computer department is probably cringing right now, but I'm going to do my best. It's really uncomfortable for me to take on the co-host, but I'm going to do it. And you know, if I mess up, I get to practice saying I'm sorry. I get to practice owning that. Okay, yep, I did that, and then I get to let it go. And So I'll let you know if you go to the convention by way of Zoom. So I think it's Sunday morning I'm on. So you'll find out how that goes for me. Thanks.
Thank you, Kim. Tim, you got anything on this one?
As I mentioned in my talk, that I was asked to put together a four-step workshop for the prisons. And I was really afraid of this one because I was the one that had the experience and had the materials, and I was kind of put into the quote unquote leadership role of this one. And I was really afraid of messing it up. But then I remembered, you know, in our literature that there are no leaders. I'm just a trusted servant. And when I took that perspective that I'm just sharing my experience, strength, and hope, and it's going to go the way it's going to go, and I'm not the only one. It was a group effort. The whole workshop was not just, you know, just me. It was the participants. It was the other people that, you know, volunteered to help out. And when I keep that in mind, that I'm not alone, I never have to do anything alone. And we're all here to support and love each other. Then it went fine. But that fear at the beginning was tough.
Thank you all. And so because your answers were so wonderful, we're going to give you another break and hear from Jean for a couple of minutes. Jean, you're on.
Thank you. I'm Jean. Tradition 5, it is quite the tradition. I think about a group has but one purpose, to help families and alcoholics. So it's really good at working that. But what about the encouraging and understanding part? You know, as I read this book is great. I got it underlined all over the place. you know, for a good line I like, I cannot contribute to the group purpose unless I continue to practice the steps with humility and faith. This practice, I believe, is the basis for being a trusted servant. So I can go along and do that. But again, that encouraging. Before Al-Anon, my idea of encouraging was going through the closet and emptying bottles. My idea of encouraging was, well, let's do this. In other words, I'm going to direct you over here because it's better for you. I'm encouraging you to be a better person. So that was my idea of encouragement. So it took me a while to understand more. I remember somebody would always talk and I really didn't want to listen to them. It drove me bananas. And then I like this in here. It says, I've learned to work more effectively on projects with others with whom I have differences by looking for common interests and working to achieve common goals. I have to remember part of the group purpose is that we're all, well, part of the group purpose is a bigger, a closer, increased connection with my higher power. Contributing to a group whose purpose is, I love this, simple, clear, and positive has helped me make progress in keeping other areas of my life simple, clear, and positive. And I love the word positive. So now I have a whole new definition of encouragement. Positive. Okay, I was very positive when I was emptying the bottles, but this is a different kind of positive. It's got the spiritual energy of positive. I now get to listen. So this one person that I was basically shut off, I learned I just need to be positive. All of a sudden, I got to understand more about that person. I got to understand more of where this person was coming from. I actually heard that he was in the hospital. I got to hear things. So for me, part of that encouragement is being positive. And it goes along with what I heard from the speakers, being open, willing, and honest. Open, willing, and honest with myself, compassionate with others. Yes, dumping the bottles I thought was compassionate, but this is a different kind of compassion. So I love that. So now I get to learn to keep it simple, clear, and positive. Thanks.
Thanks, Gene. The great thing about Al-Anon is that when you tell somebody they have 2 minutes to speak, they actually can stop in 2 minutes. It's so wonderful. All right. So we have a couple more questions left for the time that we have. Let's see. This is a question for all of our speakers. And I think this time we'll start with Michael. How do you encourage others to participate in service?
Good question. How do I do that? I think like anything else in my recovery, it's a matter of just of like living it and doing it and modeling it. And I'm so grateful to have had the chance to share with you all today my experience with it. So, I mean, related a lot to Jean's share just now. And, I've learned to not force the solution, not force my idea of what the solution is, but allow people to be themselves and just live my recovery. And it surprises me sometimes, like my coworker who, you know, made note of it, like how that sometimes impacts people. So, you know, it's just a matter of living it to me. And I know I'm curious to hear what the other two have to say. Maybe they have better ideas than me, but for me, it's just about living it and sharing an appropriate what my service experiences have done for my own recovery.
Thanks, Michael. Tim. What do you think about this question?
I just have to echo what Michael says to when the opportunity arises to share what service has done for my recovery and what it does for my life. And I can't press anybody into doing it. Just as an example.
Thank you. Kim?
I like to think that part of the way I do that is by being vulnerable and open and honest and allowing people to see my imperfections, that I'm not always the most eloquent speaker. Things don't come out. Sometimes they come out all jumbled like that. My mind gets ahead of my mouth. If she can do that, I certainly can do that. I'm hoping that by, again, showing up and by example and just being honest, open, other people will, that encourages other people to step up and in all their imperfection and give it a shot. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I think we might be down to the last question, and I'm going to direct it at all three of you again. How have you gotten to be yourself in service? So, Michael?
What a great question. I love that. I mean, that's like, that's a huge question, because I think that's like what my experience in Al-Anon, that's like my, like that's my destination in my journey in Al-Anon, is to like really become my true self, right? And my true authentic self. That's a big part of why I'm here and where I hope I'm heading. So, you know, I think, you know, in service, as I've heard several other people say, it's like an opportunity to be my imperfect human self. You know, it's an opportunity for me to try new behaviors. It's a safer place than the world to be my genuine self. So it's a nice kind of like a playground for like trying new behaviors, trying to be a more authentic human being, my more authentic self. And then because I have those experiences, I can build on them and take them into the rest of my life. So it's a really great, I would say, playground for like trying these things out and trying out Michael, this new part of Michael that I've discovered or learned about in the service environment, whether it's, you know, sharing in a meeting or it's committee work or it's whatever. You know, I get to practice in Al-Anon through service who I'm discovering I am. And then that experience, and that I can take that to the rest of my life.
Thank you. Tim?
Again, I think I just can echo what Michael has said, is that it is the opportunity, is the place to discover who my true self was. You know, I lost myself quite a bit before coming in down on and having these experiences, this opportunity to relearn and practice. And as I shared before, just having that safe environment to do that. And as Kimberly shared, you know, to be vulnerable, which that was a really scary thing for me to be outside of that, and to be vulnerable and to share who I am and have it, you know, and have it accepted, because it wasn't always accepted. So thank you.
Kim, we've got about a minute.
Okay, I'll try to make this quick. For me, it's an overall Al-Anon thing. When I came into Al-Anon, I was pretty certain I knew who I was. I was concrete. I mean, I knew Kim. And then I was in Al-Anon for about 2 years, working the steps, got through the fourth step, and my world fell apart. I got real uncomfortable because I realized I didn't know who Kimberly was. I had absolutely no idea. And it was scary. I can still feel that coming up in my chest, like, the uncomfortable feeling of not really knowing who I was, and not being okay with not having this concrete idea of who I was, this concrete image, and being in
And that's all from working the steps and arrived at that. And I was able to just sit with it and work through it. And now it's the joy of, I have the joy of continually learning about myself, about my likes, and it, I don't know that I will ever, it will ever be a concrete Kim. It will, and I hope it does. I continue to change and learn and grow, and certainly service and Al-Anon has added to that. And that's all I have. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to all of our members for such good questions and to our speakers for their insightful answers. We just have a minute or two left, so I'm going to turn it back over to Mike.
Thank you, Michelle. And once again, let's thank our speakers today for doing such a great job with the American Sign Language CLAP. I would also like to thank Flo Ann, who is not only our committee chairperson, but is our tech person for today, and Maureen, who is our tech backup person, and also Michelle, who is our moderator. Thank you. I want to thank all of you for coming. This has been a real honor to chair this workshop for the last 3 months and hear some incredible speakers. I want to thank all of you. Our next workshop will be on My Hopes and Dreams, A Lesson in Detachment. And we hope to see you there on Thursday, July 1st, 7 p.m. Arizona time. We'll close today with the Al-Anon Declaration. Let it begin with me. When anyone reaches out for help, let the hand of Al-Anon always be there, and let it begin with me.